Hello, I'm Pastor Daniel Flukey from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Green, Iowa, and today is Sunday, July 12th. We're looking at a couple different scripture readings today, and our first lesson is from Isaiah 55, verses 10 through 13. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy, and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Here ends the first lesson. And from Psalm 65 we read, praise is due to you, O God, in Zion, and to you shall vows be performed. O you who answer prayer, to you all flesh shall come. When deeds of iniquity overwhelm us, you forgive our transgressions. Happy are those whom you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, your holy temple. By awesome deeds you answer us with deliverance, O God of our salvation. You are the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas. By your strength you establish the mountain. You are girded with might. You silence the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, the tumult of the peoples. Those who live at earth's farthest bounds are awed by your signs. You make gateways of the morning and the evening shout for joy. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide the people with grain, for so you have prepared it. You water its furrows abundantly, setting its ridges, softening it with showers, and blessing its growth. You crown the year with your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow with richness. The pastures of the wilderness overflow. The hills gird themselves with joy. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and sing together for joy. And one more reading from Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. Paul writes, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and to deal with sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Grace to you and peace from the one who was, who is, and who is to come, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So you've probably seen that our country has set new records several days this week for the number of new confirmed COVID cases. And I've been watching the morning news some days when I get up with Micah, and it's the same story over and over. I think probably 3 out of the 5 days this week, there were more and more cases and new records. And our cases here in Butler County keep gradually going up as well. And of course, it's starting to feel closer to home with more cases in Green and here in our congregation even. Now, some parts of the world seem to be handling the pandemic pretty well. And then there are countries, especially poorer developing nations, where it's like watching a slow-motion train wreck because in so many places the virus is compounding the problems existing of poverty and famine. And it's overwhelming to watch when day after day after day, these stories of tragedy and loss just keep coming. Personally, I'm glad that we've resumed in-person worship, and I'm also relieved there aren't very many people who've been coming. And at the same time, and I have to be honest, it's hard to lead worship with lots of empty seats. It's hard to lead worship talking to a camera. For those of us who haven't gotten sick yet, one of the hardest parts of living through a pandemic is the uncertainty. Some tragedies, like flooding or a car wreck, have a clear moment when they happen, and then you move on to recovering. We just don't know when the pandemic is going to be over. We don't know if we're on the upswing or the downswing. And the not knowing is tough. I don't know how to describe it. Of course, you all are experiencing it as well, so you know how hard this season is. So many of the expectations we rely on for what normal looks like have been upended this year. As you know, if you're around here, this weekend is North Butler's high school graduation. Times of transition, of course, are always difficult, but there are so many more unknowns right now. There's tons of plans and proposals, but no one really knows what college is going to look like or what jobs have yet to be affected. Someone I know on Facebook shared a new word this week, Corona Coaster, the ups and downs of a pandemic, the roller coaster of emotions. I kind of like that word. Maybe I'll start using it, Corona Coaster. Kristen and I were at Walmart last week picking up some supplies for our take-home VBS kits, and believe it or not, back-to-school sales are already happening. And it's not an immediate problem for all of us, but how do families make any kind of plans without knowing what school is going to look like in the fall? And I know districts have their plans out, but that could change, and we just don't know. So if you've had moments recently where you've felt overwhelmed, first of all, you have good reason, and second, know that you are not alone. And in the midst of all of that, our scripture lessons today are about joy. And maybe today you need a reminder of joy. Psalm 65 begins with the promise that God answers prayer, and that alone, of course, is worth celebrating. And then the psalmist goes through this whole litany of ways God is working in creation, bringing life to the world, all these farming and nature metaphors. A reminder to us that in the midst of all the disruptions of normal right now, God is still present, God is still active, God is still worthy of praise. And then the second reading, Romans 8, is just as joyful, although Paul goes a whole different direction. Instead of focusing on God's good works in the natural world, Paul talks about God's gift of eternal life beyond this world. If you've been watching for a few weeks, we've been in Romans for a while now. Last week we looked at the previous chapter, chapter 7 of Romans, where Paul writes that frustrated passage about being bound to sin. He writes about how he doesn't understand his own actions because even when he wants to do good, he still does evil. And his sinfulness keeps him from doing the good he wants. And he describes himself as a captive to sin, a prisoner under the law. But in today's reading, Paul begins chapter 8 with the most joyful words of hope you can imagine. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and wrath. So not only is God active in the world and in nature around us, God's love for you and for me is personal. The good news of the gospel is that God has set you free, free from your bondage to sin, free to live in joy rather than in fear, free from the power of death. We need to hear that message. We need to proclaim that message. And the freedom Jesus has won for you does not depend on how you feel about it. My feeling overwhelmed does not change the fact that God is active in the world. Jesus Christ has died and has been raised from the dead. The Holy Spirit is dwelling within us. That's good news. That first reading from Isaiah promises that God's word does not return empty. God's plans cannot be foiled. Our sinful brokenness, our divisions and walls, a pandemic, nothing is big enough to stop God from acting. The remarkable thing about Isaiah's joyful declarations of faith is that he's writing to people who are much worse off than you or I are. The second half of the book of Isaiah is largely a message of encouragement to God's people who are in exile, and not just banished from their church buildings or encouraged not to go on vacation, but literally in exile in Babylon. They've been conquered and deported. Everything in their lives has changed. They're not precisely slaves, but they're certainly not free. They're stuck in this foreign land. And they've got basically nothing left. And here comes this word from God: "You shall go out in joy and be led back in peace, and creation itself will burst into song. Captivity will come to an end. It will get better. Forgiveness, redemption, restoration are at hand. God is renewing the world, and the world is rejoicing." I want to share with you the words of a hymn based on that Isaiah text. I don't think we've ever sung it at St. Peter, but it's in our newer Cranberry hymnal. It's called "Light Dawns on Our Weary World." Light dawns on a weary world. And I don't have the rights to play it here, unfortunately, but I'll put a link to it in the description, and I hope you'll go listen to it on a YouTube recording. But listen to this poetic picture of what God's action in the world looks like. "Light dawns on a weary world when eyes begin to see all people's dignity. Light dawns on a weary world, the promised day of justice comes." Verse 2, "Love grows in a weary world when hungry hearts find bread and children's dreams are fed. Love grows in a weary world, the promised feast of plenty comes." Verse 3, "Hope blooms in a weary world when creatures once forlorn find wilderness reborn. Hope blooms in a weary world, the promised green of Eden comes." And the chorus: "The trees shall clap their hands, the dry lands gush with springs, the hills and mountains shall break forth with singing. We shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace, as all the world in wonder echoes, Shalom." Shalom is the Hebrew word for peace, for wholeness. It represents the world the way God intended it to be at creation, the vision of the Garden of Eden. It's all God's children living together in peace as a beloved community. We had a baptism here this week for Henry Bain, Joe and Sue Brinkman's grandson. And as we do every time we baptize, we concluded the service by saying, "We welcome you into the Lord's family. We receive you as a fellow member of the body of Christ, a child of the same Heavenly Father, and a worker with us in the kingdom of God." Whether you've just been baptized, or you're graduating from high school this weekend, or you've been part of this church for 80 years, God is calling you as a worker in the vineyard to work on this, to join in this work, to participate in this work of renewing the world. The Holy Spirit is dwelling in you to give you life, giving you a part to play. God's light is breaking in, and you get to be part of that. So in the midst of the chaos and uncertainty, the new normal and the questions of the corona coaster and everything else in this broken world, remember, there is joy in the journey of faith. Go out in joy and be led back in peace. Amen.